Big Red Bench, Cork's Red FM.
Ideally, you go to the Olympics and especially if we had an athlete of the calibre of Rob, you say, yeah, we'll get a medal, you know. Now, it actually never occurred to me that we wouldn't get a medal. I remember saying it to Rob afterwards, looking at the training and when we were away, because I'd record everything. So I know what his training is like and what he's doing and his temperament, and he looked better than I'd seen him. And he was brilliant in Barcelona as well, in the Europeans when he was fourth twice. But I just felt that this time he was just a little step up again. It never occurred to me that he wouldn't come back with a medal. I couldn't see if he walked the way we've predicted he'd walk, and he walked away better afterwards, that he wouldn't get a medal.
Yeah.
But for a high, it was, because for one, because of that, because you're in a privileged position to see somebody performing at that level. And then as part of the management team and the coaching team, you're there and you're challenged to see, can you solve problems? Can you organise what needs to be organised? Can you work with a team? So it was always my lifelong ambition to either to compete in the Olympics, yeah, or, well, that wasn't going to happen now, or to be with an athlete that would compete. So yeah, in answer to your question, it was a high, obviously, yeah.
Yeah, like obviously, I suppose your main focus would have been Rob, but how much input did you have in the rest of the team?
Well, the way the management team works is that my function was to make sure that Rob was going to be okay, but I was looking after the rest of the walkers. And if you look at the results at the Olympics, the Irish walkers, first of all, per head of capita, we had the most number of walkers that qualified. And secondly, if you look at all the results, they did phenomenal results. Laura Reynolds had her best time. Boise had his best time. We know what Rob did.
Yeah.
It was the best performance for all of Loughnane all year. So every single one of them competed very well. I know Colin was disqualified and he had a problem with issues with technicalities and stuff, but the effort that he put in to get there as well was super. So that group of walkers were, and my responsibility was for them. But when it came to looking after some of the other team that needed it, you were there in the management system as well. So you had to make sure there was
people
a whole
bouncing stuff off you and stuff like that kind of thing, would it?
Not really. These people are very professional. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But your whole idea is to make sure that the environment they're training in is organised really well. And we were in Tennington before the Olympics. So that was organised by Sonia O'Sullivan. So it was obviously a high performance area anyway, because we were there and the English rugby team were there as well. And it was perfect for us, because we were able to go up to Bushy Park, and there was plenty of parks around that they could actually walk on. And the Chinese were based there, and we were able to go into Strawberry Hill then, the track was only 10 minutes away. So the environment for training was perfect. So these people know what they're doing. You just make sure the environment they have is looked after really well.
Yeah, just, I suppose, in terms of other countries, and we'll say the superpowers like Australia and China and America and even Russia and stuff like that, would Ireland's preparation have been as good as that, or would it have been a bit lower down, do you think?
There's two ways to look at that. One, the financial backing that people get, and two, the professionalism that they actually show. There's only so much money that the different federations have, so they have to distribute it as they see that they need to distribute it. So other countries have more funds, so Athletics Ireland and the Sports Council, they give it out the way that they see is going to be utilised the best way that it can. Everybody would say, should it always need more? Mm-hmm. And obviously, we could have done with more, because a lot of the people do it voluntarily and they're not really funded as well as they should be. But if there's only X amount there in the pot, then that's what you have to use. We used to have a laugh, because we go to an event or go training and there'd be Rob and myself, and then we look at another team and they'd have all the people there. But in a sense, that was a tribute to us in that we were capable of doing it, because I had all these skills that I was able to use.
Yeah.
So, you know, to be granted, have more, but if it's not there, it's not there. We're living in a time now where people who are on disability are being cut, you know, so you get what you get and you get on with it. And that's what you do. And I think that's why Rob is as successful as he is, because we look at the environment, we adapt to what it is, and we just get on with it. And there's no point in complaining, well, we'd love to have more. It wasn't there.
Just to focus on the walkers, so for a minute, would you say it was a relatively successful Olympic Games for the Irish walkers?
Well, it was phenomenal for what they achieved. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. I mean, I think if we had to look at it realistically, what Rob did, he was in a a race that was the fastest 50k ever. And in any other Olympics, he would have a medal.
Yeah.
But 20k out, when you look at what was in front of him, Jared Talent was on two reds. And he's a smart walker now. And I said, he might just get another one, you know.
We were praying he would, yeah.
The Chinese guy, we thought he was in his last legs. And he'd get another card and it would work that way. But they all walked brilliantly. And Boise was over 5 minutes faster than he'd previously been. So the walkers actually produced what they were asked to produce in London. And it's a... We sometimes have this attitude that, oh, we go to these things and we get a medal. The 1% of 1% get a medal. That's it. So we have a habit of, if somebody isn't performing, oh, well, there's something wrong with it. I think what it taught me as well, as a coach or as a person or as a citizen of Ireland, was that it's not always about the medals. The honour and the dignity at which you perform and you represent your country is far more important. And we did it. And we did it exceptionally well. And I think the people that were there watching the races saw that. You know, to be in the stadium, for example, normally when you go to championships, first rounds are, the stadiums are empty.
Yeah.
It was full all of the time. And I can remember after I got into the stadium one morning to watch the 400 hurdles. And Di Green was, met him coming back on the bus. And asked him what you think of that. And he basically said, sure, he said, you'd never get an experience like that where the stadium will be full on your first round. And so there's a tension and there's an expectation and an emotional stress that you wouldn't otherwise feel. But yet they were able to embrace it and do it. So from an Irish point of view, the way that we performed was exceptional. And we need to look at where actually we are in the scale of how good are we.
Yeah.
What facilities have we got to make the people we have better? Like when you take, there's a new indoor arena now in Athlone. Our first one was inside in Nina. And we had three indoor champions at one time and we have no indoor facilities. It's the wettest country in the world and we don't have the facilities we need. And maybe in the boom time when we should have been investing money in our sport, in our education, of sport, maybe now we mightn't have our $1 billion bill that's going to come down the track with our obesity, because we it's no point in saying that we are a physically active nation when we're actually not, even though we love watching sport. Yeah. We love to watch it and we love to be involved in it, but our participation isn't as good as it's been. And that's why the Sports Partnership in Cork, I mean, we have an involvement with them now, Rob and myself, looking at participation just for walking, so that we can go into the schools, demonstrate how to walk, because kids can walk, and if you get them early, they'll walk better.
Yeah.
And if they mightn't like to run, but they can walk. And if they can walk a bit of fun and pick up a talent race walking, that's fine. So we, in answer to your original question, did we do? Yes, we did. In terms of what we have in coaching, what we have in funds, we did absolutely exceptional.
Yeah, I suppose like you'd have to accept that a lot of the public were very disappointed with the performance of the track athletes as a whole. Mm-hmm. Would you say so that maybe they're looking at it very black and white, as in you go to an Olympics, you should go to win medals, and if you don't win medals, then that's not good enough. Like, what would be your reaction to that?
My reaction is people need to be educated seriously about the standard that's required. And people say, oh, well, they're being funded. And you might look at the funds, and when you take out what these guys have to pay for to go to camps and you know, have a normal life the same as everybody else, their morning starts completely and utterly around their training. And they're training 3 and 4 hours a day. Rob will get up in the morning, have his coffee, go to training, do the training, get on the table, come back, have lunch, go to bed, get up and do it all again. And that's every single day. It takes an incredible mindset of commitment to be able to do that. And all the other people do it as well. But only a handful of them will get to the Olympics, and only even a minority again are going to get a medal.
Yeah.
And people say, well, people might be disappointed that we don't get more medals. But unless the structure and the funds and an awful lot of funds are put in place to give people the chance to do that, it's virtually impossible. And then you must look at the talent pool that you actually have.
Right.
If we don't have a talent pool that we can recognise even inside in primary school. So if our... I mean, you must remember, in primary schools in Ireland, there's no specialised PE teachers, for example. None. Yeah, absolutely none. So you're depending on your teachers in the school then to do all the PE with them and create an environment where there is a sporting environment, that there's activity, and we can recognise the pool we want. And that's diminishing the whole time. And now we have a situation as well where we have massive immigration now as well. So whatever talent we have, and even in Gaelic football and hurling, that's going to be gone.
Do you know the way you're on about funding, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think when you look at the high performance boxing and the success they've had, the medals they have, would you say if the money that was put into them was put into a high performance athletic setup, would the results be the same?
You need to compare like with like. Let's take, we'll take the boxers and you know, you go over this in your head and you say, what's the standard like in, say, amateur boxing, and then the standard in professional boxing? And you say, if all the professionals then were competing at the Olympics, how would the amateur boxers do? Now, I'm not an expert in boxing, but when Rob stands in the line, or when our athletes stand on the line, they're going to be up against the best in the world in their event at that time. And you could say, well, if the same funding was put in, would the same success be? There's no guarantee, because you still have to have all the structures in place. And as I said previously, there's only X amount of money available, and we get the medals in boxing. They've proven it time and time again at every single Olympics. But if Rob was a boxer in fourth place, he'd have a medal. Now, people would argue, well, you know, if you get the medals, that's where you should put the money in. And then we have to decide, is that what we want? Medals? And do we do whatever we need to get medals? Or do we want people participating? And if there was extra funds, well, I mean, it was a nice gesture now when Rob came back and Grandin's provided him with a car. Now, you don't get too many people with that generosity to do it, you know?
Yeah.
And if you have that type of generosity and people funding it, it means you can do more. Because instead of staying at home, say, for the next 4 weeks, Rob can go away and make sure he goes to warm weather, because he can work out. I mean, he has to pay his mortgage, he has to do all of that. And while his grant, maybe of 40 grand, seems like an awful lot of money, and it is in this day and age, but you have to look at what you have to do with it. We can't expect our high-performance athletes to perform at a massive high level without the correct and proper funding. And we discussed earlier on about when we go away, there's me, and there was Rob. And then there was other teams, and they had their physios, and they had their managers, and they had everything. There was just the two of us. And it was fine. We proved what we could actually do. And there is a determination about Irish people that maybe you don't see elsewhere. We definitely, we're the same as anybody else if we have the confidence to go with it. I mean, I've seen it. We've been around the world, you know, at different events. And I can see the respect that people, certainly the walking fraternity, have for Rob Heffernan. They can see what he's done and what he's achieved and how he's developed over and over again. So more funds is going to make a difference. Comparing boxing with athletics, maybe it isn't the right comparison.
Okay.
But then they do have it well organised in boxing, and they have achieved it. And the structure they have, you try and replicate that elsewhere and see if you get the same result. But then it's down to the pool of talent that you have and how you go with it.
Do you feel, in terms of track again, do you feel the talent is there? And what do you feel needs to be done to get more success even in Rio?
Yeah, there is young talent there. But again, you have to look at all the coaching structures. You just look at the coaches. You have to look at how many professional coaches do we actually have.
How many?
In Ireland. We don't have any professional coaches. We have the management system, say, in Athletics Ireland, but there's no, for example, there's no professional coach in walking, in race walking. I was about as professional as it got last year. And again, it's down to, you know, where do the sports council put their funds, and where is their coaching expertise there to do that? You can't have a situation where, at a very high level, that an athlete will not be looked after or coached by somebody who was only able to do it on a real part-time basis, because you're talking about a professional sport at the Olympic Games. And between now and Rio, you have to target where your talent is and what's your graph for progress. Where is the graph, and at what level do you have to be at each year that you do it? And even then, there's no guarantee. Because, I mean, our graph told us, going to the 50k that Rob was going to get a medal.
Yeah.
But the other guys ended up doing phenomenal walks as well. Mm. So, but you have to have that structure in place and then see can you develop it further and have your checks and balances. And if somebody isn't at a level they need to be at a particular time in the 4-year cycle, then why not? What's missing? You know, has there been enough input from coaches? Have the coaches got the knowledge to do what they need to do? Have camps been organised to the degree that you can see where the progress actually is? And is there a review of everything being done to make sure that the gap analysis between what you are at A and where you need to be at Z is actually in place?
Yeah. Have you had that conversation with the powers that be?
Well, there's a review going in at the moment now after the Olympics. So all the coaches that were there will be interviewed and their opinions given as to how they felt the Olympics actually went. And I actually thought that the way the Irish team was managed at the Olympics was absolutely brilliant. I couldn't find fault with it, really. I thought that in Teddington beforehand, taking out of the environment, going into the Olympic Village at the right time, doing what needs to be done inside there, I thought it was managed very, very well. No, I hadn't the experience of being at one previously, but my own opinion is I thought it was really done very well. So there is a review process going on, and all the NGOs, all the organisations have to knuckle down now and say, well, there's only X amount of funds now, so how are we going to distribute this to target the athletes that we think will get a medal in Rio?
That process must be very, like, there's a lot of people fighting for other people and stuff like that. Is that how that works out?
Well, it'll work out that, you know, they look at, all the coaches will submit their own plans, and athletes submit their plans, and they can see from their previous performances and what their planned performances are, what position they're actually going to be in. But, like, my opinion is right now, if Rob, who is at the top of his game, if people give him proper funding to make sure that he's going to be looked after between here and Rio, I think he's our best chance of a medal in Rio. And I'm delighted that, you know, when he came back, that the recognition that he deserves, people are beginning to realise what it is. I think anyone that was there saw it. If people saw the training, and if people saw the total commitment and the professionalism that he brings to his sport, people would appreciate a little bit better what goes into it, and they can see that unless you have the finance behind you to make sure you plan out everything and all you do is turn up for training, then you have a far better chance. Are there other athletes? Some people will emerge. We have some good half middle distance runners. You get people who will be on the funding for a while, but their performances will drop, so they'll lose their funding. So maybe somebody might. There's always somebody will come along.
Yeah.
But they're usually targeted at a very young age, you know. And we do have some very good young athletes. But again, it's the structure that's all around it. Is there a real high performance structure? Until you have professional coaches at different events and not being there in a voluntary basis where they have other jobs to go to and families to look after, it's virtually impossible to say, well, look, if a problem arises, can you solve it very, very quickly?
Yeah.
Because at this time of the year, it's out in the warm weather you need to be. You don't need to be doing 20k walk or whatever event you're involved in the real cold weather. Get a little cold, you miss a few days. And when you get your cumulative work charts and you look at them all and you say, oh, well, look, there's another week there that we miss now because of. And those little things, those small little percentages make the big difference.
Well, you're finished up with Rob now, aren't you?
Well, right now, because I was given, I was doing my study in Mary Eye on education, so I had to take a year out, and now I have to return to the studies, and it's going to be impossible for me to give the time and the commitment that I had previously. So Rob has to reorganise everything now, and if I'm available at certain points, then I'm available. But right now, that's going to be the case.
Can you see yourself coming back full time, maybe before Rio or something like that?
To be nice, if there was funds there to do that, that'd be, because it is a full time position to look after walkers and organise camps and make sure that their training is okay, that you're giving them the focus on what they have to do, review everything that you have to do. Looking after athletes is about making sure that they're, as I said, that their environment is correct and that they know every training session that they're doing, there's a purpose to it, that they can see at the end of it, every block of training, that they've achieved what they set out to achieve. So that means being involved with the athletes all of the time. I mean, young athlete, now Kate Field, I mean, you have the one end of the scale, you have Olive on one side and you have Kate on the other side, and Olive is coming to the end of her career, and she performed quite well in London. Mm. And you have Kate, who is only more or less starting. So again, if the structures aren't correct for her, and the coaching around her isn't right, that probably needs people on a professional basis to do that, because that's the way it should be. Because, I mean, when the athletes go away, when they go to America, they're in professional setups, and that's what we need here.
Yeah.
But again, if the funds aren't there, unless there's a willingness to find them somewhere, then it can't be done.
I know it's hard to put a number on it, but how many athletes a year or over 2 years do you think slip through the net and just fall away? Good ones.
Oh, that's a difficult question, because people will get injured and people will get to a certain level, and that's the potential they have.
Right.
When you have people like Fionnuala's, Britain's after coming through, but she's in a different coaching setup now. There's always a few that will show potential, but they won't reach their full potential because, again, like that, you know, they're out on the track. Tom, they're out on the track and you know, it's raining, it's freezing. Like the track now the other night, I was coaching a few athletes, and I knew that if we didn't get out on the track early, we wouldn't be able to use it because they'd be frozen over. So it's frozen over, you know, but you adapt as you can. But the situation should be like, okay, if you have athletes of that calibre, of international standard, get them into an environment where they have their warm weather, where they have the support that they need, and whatever funds they have, they're provided. If they don't reach the standards then that they need to reach, well, take the funding off of them and say, right, look, if you're good enough, you'll keep going. If you're not, then you've given it your best shot. But at least have the support systems around them so that when they're finished, they say, yeah, look, I got the best coaching advice I could get. I got the best possible support I could get. My training environment was very good. I'm just not good enough.
Yeah, and
that's
like,
fine.
Like, as in, that does sound quite ruthless, but you reckon that has to be the way it should be.
Yeah, that has to be the way. And then you can, in the environment, you look at just the development of a person themselves. You look at when they're growing up, as people, are they being looked after the way they should? When you get to a point in your career where you're winning, then winning is the only important thing.
Yeah,
and you have a few years to do it. And after that, then you go back to your normal life. And this is the other thing, the transition from being a top-class athlete to retiring is a factor that has to be penciled in as well. You know, somebody just stops, what are they going to do? What's their education like? What other skills do they have? Is there a process by where there's a nice transition from when you retire to go into coaching or go into business or whatever the case may be? Because some athletes just retire and that's it.
Yeah.
They finish. And you know, they spend their whole life representing their country in a way that we're extremely proud of, and then gone, and no one knows who they are or what they've done. We don't promote our athletics the way we should, and sport in some cases. I know now you can say, well, the Jane, and I have a privilege that I'm involved in all sports, and I'm involved in a coach education program with the Jane as well. And you say to yourself, well, when you're finished, is there somewhere you can go that you can use all the skills and everything that you've learned? And some people don't. They just fade away and we never hear from them again. And there is no policy, or it's not a structure that is worked out to and finely tuned. As we have these people who give their whole life to us, absolutely their whole life, and then we just forget about them.
Is there contingency plans in other countries?
Well, there are in a lot of countries.
Yeah.
Because you see, even the people who would have competed now at the Olympics, they'll have bonuses for finishing in certain positions.
Yeah.
So they'll get some funds. I mean, if some of the athletes, and I'll say people who even do it on a voluntary basis, who play, they spend so much time doing this that unless as the whole person that they're developing as a person, and that they can contribute to their society, their community, it's of little benefit. So we need to make sure that as coaches or administrators, that the purpose of our sport is to develop a society and a community where it has a purpose, as opposed to, oh yeah, we'll win.
Yeah.
I mean, as a coach said to me one time, he said, I went to, now it's gone to the stage where coaches nearly want psychologists and masseurs and physios for the under twos because they want to win. And they forget that winning is way down the line and that the purpose of sport is to develop a person. Develop the person, and if there's somebody that's good enough to win, they will develop. Mm. I mean, if you look at Rob, let's get Rob, two examples. We'll take Rob and Henry Shefflin. If you were to ask when Rob was young, would he have been where he is now? People would have said, no, sure, he's too small and he's this, but he had a lot of other qualities. Highly intelligent, capable of adapting, committing completely, organising his life the way it needs to be organised. So the achievement doesn't come from just talent alone. Now, talent is important, but not alone. Henry Shefflin couldn't get on the minor Kilkenny team when he was a minor. Could not get on it. Yeah. And now he's regarded as being the best hurler that we've ever seen. So it's the process makes the person and the athlete, yeah, or the player or the sports person. So the process is what we have to look at. And somewhere along the line, if that process is right, your top class Olympic athletes will always emerge every time. So we need to have that structure so that we can see that happening in stages the whole way along. It takes funds, but it takes huge amount of people to volunteer at a lower level. They provide that environment for them, and the winning will come as it needs to do.
Mm. You mentioned you're involved in Gaelic Games as well. Mm. I know you're doing a bit of coaching with Aula de Bala. Do you enjoy that side of it as well? And is it very different?
Oh, it's different because you're now involved in a team sport, and that team sport there's so many personalities in it,
yeah,
that you're looking to see that everything is the way it needs to be, and you're trying to use all your experience to see what needs to be done at a particular time. Now, Aula Art are playing in Nolan Park on Sunday, and this will be their third Leinster final. But we've changed a few things because my position was there to observe what they were doing, do some sports therapy as well, and give them advice and training and preparation for their final. And I think that the energy levels now that they'll have, hopefully for Sunday, We'll see them over the line. You can always cut this out of the interview any if they lose on Sunday. But being involved in training teams, when you go to train a team after being involved at a level, at Olympic level, and looking at what's done, and thankfully, coach education now in the GAA is improving as well, because I'm working on a philosophy now of community practice of coaches, where coaches, and I'm doing some of it in Ballinora, on the outer road, and then in the Glen as well. And coaches, unfortunately, in team environments, work as individuals, and there's no collaborative process there. Okay. So all that knowledge that people bring from their own life's experience is not even being used. So the idea is to create an environment where they realise that they're coaching kids for their lives, not to win games. Because clubs might win something once every 20 years, if they're really lucky. Or they might go through a cycle like the Glen did in the 30s where they went 8 in a row, but that hasn't happened since. Mm. And if that happens, that's fine. But how do we organise it in such a way that the environment is there where the coaches actually are being educated and educating themselves, so they learn from each other in situated learning. So me being involved in that process is another challenge again. But the difference and level of commitment and the standard of conditioning for players in those positions compared to Olympic level, there's a massive, massive gap. It's like there's nobody, there would be very few that would be able to get to that level because they train twice a week and maybe have a game. I mean, the top class athletes are training every day, twice a day. So there's no comparison. Yeah. But again, you're only looking at what's the whole purpose of a club? What's the whole purpose of having these players playing? What do we want to achieve out of it? And every club has their own identity, and they'll figure it out for themselves. So it's about communities of practice where there's coach education happening. So the coaches, some of them be there for 20 years. So ideally what we want is that they're actually, so it's about participation, and that's what the sports partnership in Cork is about. How can we get people participating and understanding the importance of actually being active so that we develop our people? And, you know, the play, like, they'll be good players then. But if we have good people, we'll end up with good players.
But, Gene, that's been a problem in Ireland for a long time, though, because even during the summer there, when the Irish soccer team were getting hockeyed over in over in Poland, people were saying about the standard of player we had, that at underage level in the country, it's all about winning, and it's not about developing talent and developing skills and all of that kind of stuff. Do you think across the board maybe that could be a bit of a problem?
It's a problem, but I think people are recognising it.
Yeah.
And it's down again to coach education, simply because as a coach, you'd like to see your athlete or your players winning. But if you're a knowledgeable coach, you will understand at what level your players or your athletes are at. And you will realise that, I mean, the philosophy in the GAA right now is, you know, there's go games, there's the O2 philosophy, and the situation now is changing in that if a coach has confidence and he takes his players out and they're like children's effective growth, in other words, are they enjoying what they're doing? And if it becomes about the coach, then we've lost our way completely.
Okay.
And the attitude is changing, because if you educate your coaches and they go out and the players are playing, nothing worse than seeing an under 10 team losing a game and they're crying on the side because they felt that they have failed. It stays with them their whole life. Now, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with winning. Winning is important because some people are natural winners. They love to win. Yeah. I was one of those. I didn't like to win. I remember being in a cross country race and I came third. And I was disgusted with myself. I wanted to win, but I had a winning mentality even when I was young. And I can remember the coach coming down, and God rest him, Damon O'Neill, he used to take us away and he used to give us lollipops and everything after. And I got my bronze medal, and I remember throwing the medal back at him. I can still remember it clear as day. But it's a lesson I've learned. I didn't win that day because I just made a wrong move at the wrong time. I was only under 10.
Yeah.
Right? But I have learned since, like, not everybody can win. So what are players doing between the time that they might win one championship to the other time? What are we doing for the other 20 years? When you win one race, what are you doing for the rest of your time? You're developing your personality, you're developing your ability to communicate with other coaches, your skills in the community itself. What's the purpose? So hopefully coaches will get the confidence to realise that when parents come up and they say, well, should we didn't win the game? And the coaches say, well, we're not here to win all the time. We're here to develop your children, to make better people out of them, so they can contribute to society in a better way. And the GAA, because of its organisation, in every corner of every street in every town, has a huge responsibility now to look at their purpose and what they're doing. And I think they are looking at it. You know, and when you go up to Ballinora on a Saturday morning now, you will have 30 coaches. One coach for every 5 children, and they're training them every month. You go out to the track and you see some of the clubs out there working with kids as well, and they know, the coaches know, okay, we're not going to have these kids all the time. Some of them, particularly girls, they'll get to 14 and 15 and they'll give up. Other things in their life take over. But when they're finished with them, if they have given them something special and important that's going to contribute to their well-being, that's what it's about. Because like I said, there's only 1% of 1% will get a medal. So, like, and again, I'll repeat it. What Robert Heffernan achieved in London is historic. We have missed it. I think the general public, they've missed it, you know. And maybe in time to come, people realise that, right. That's why I hope that, and unfortunately, you know, if I'm not in a position to do it, I can't do it. But I hope that, you know, for the next couple of years, you know, that Rob is going to the Worlds in Moscow in, say, August, you know. He's an adaptable guy. He knows, you know, if I'm not there, he'll organise his life around so that what we did last year, he'll replicate again.
Yeah.
You know, but even when I started with Rob, I realised that, okay, I know Rob since he was a young fella. I could see my purpose was to make sure, if at all possible, as a person, he could develop as well. So we've shared that, and we've shared tough times, you know, we share tough times as well. That's a conversation for another day. But, you know, so we've seen the highs and the lows. And again, the whole thing is that when Mr. Hayes was coaching him as a young fella, you know, he still remembers Mr. Hayes. Massey Cotter out in Toker. You know, a coach will tell you something as a young person that you'll remember for the rest of your life. And it's usually not about winning.
Mm.
It's usually about the whole process of it. Billy Mills was won the 10K at... Was it 68 or 64? But at the time, Ron Clark was the world record holder in both the 5 and the 10. Billy Mills wasn't even ranked. But he won the 10K in a brilliant race. And when he was asked afterwards, years afterwards, about the medal and, you know, it was fantastic getting your medal and everything else, he actually said the part that he loved most was getting there, the whole process of what he did to get there. And he still said if he hadn't got the medal, that whole process of getting there was important. Like my own career, I can remember saying when I was 19 that I wanted to be a PE teacher. I didn't get to go to college until I was 46. I achieved that goal. I said I wanted to go to the Olympics. I got to the Olympics as well. And was it getting to the Olympics? Was it the Olympics was the thing? No, it was actually getting there.
Right.
The hard work and the commitment that goes to actually getting there. And knowing that you've contributed to somebody's life that's going to be important for the rest of their lives. So your original question about coaching and about winning all the time, coaches are being educated to realise that there's a whole process that has to take place in a child's career before they get to the point of winning. And if they do that well, then the winning is only, yeah, it's nice to get that as well. But there aren't many people that can actually get to that point.
Big Red Bench, Cork's Red FM.